So I feel like the Lord's kind of changing my message as Pastor John was speaking. But, you know, one of the things, I've had a story that's kept coming back to me, and I'm going to share it with you in a minute. One of the things that happened was this. And I specifically want to talk to our guests today and to people who are part of Boomerang. But I grew up in the church. I saw the power of God. But I was a kid, and I watched other people that were actually moving in that power. I saw miracles when I was about 11 or 12. You know, I laid hands on some children because I'd watched the evangelist pray over people. I was like, I can do that, and I can have faith. And I went and prayed over some kids and watched them literally be healed. Watched a miracle in front of my eyes, something you couldn't say didn't happen. We all watched it. All the kids were like, oh, whoa. You know, that was the way it was in the back of church. And then, you know, that was, you know, going through teenage years and young adult years, and then I felt the call of God to preach and minister and to start a church. But the problem was that even the church society had changed. In the 80s and 90s, people were so hungry for God. They were really hungry for God. But I also remember, like, you know, like today, for instance, I know there's a few people that don't have AC in their car, but generally because it's broke, right? But when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, AC was a luxury. Like, not everybody had that. I can remember, y'all, and don't like, this is just the way it was. Like, when we drive down the road, there were no seat belts. We'd be in the back window, right? I mean, I'm laying down in the back window or across the floorboard. Like, I mean, and anybody remember that besides me? And then I remember one time literally going to the grocery store, and Mom went in the grocery store, and to me it felt like 3 hours. It was probably only an hour, maybe an hour and a half. But she was like, roll down the windows, I'll be back. And it's the middle of summer. You know, we're in out in the car. I can see by the smile. Some of y'all experience the same. Things were just different there, and we didn't have the luxuries that we have today. See, the issue is that when you actually start walking in luxuries, watch, from the blessing of God, most people without a heart towards God tend to forget where it came from. Because the Word says in James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Everyone. So basically, a good question the Lord asked me years ago is if God actually takes away, or if I didn't have that gift from Him, right, of every good and perfect gift, I would be left with myself, because He's the one who added all of that. And so what good and what thing perfect did I add to myself? In other words, everything that I did good at its root came from Him, which means I need to pay attention to Him. I need to worship Him. And, you know, what happened in our country was, truly this country was contrary to what they're teaching today. It's false. There's much false doctrines being taught. But this country really was founded for God and by God. And when you move because of that, actually I've had some of the younger guys come and tell me what they've been taught in school, complete opposite of what we were taught from history books. I mean, it's literally the complete opposite stuff. I'm shocked and amazed at what they learn. But what you see is this, and that's the devil's working, because he wants people out of the blessing of God. When you do things for God, we talked about it at our Kingdom Business Fellowship on Monday. When you do things for God and you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, you will be blessed. Things will be added to you without question. That's a promise from God. But when you do things for yourself, like what Pastor John was just saying, and yourself is involved, you actually step away from the blessing of God. And that's what's happened in our country. So in the 70s and 80s, there was a hunger for the things of God. But we didn't have all the stuff we have today. But we literally watched the blessing of God continue to grow in our society in the 80s and 90s and 2000. We'd have a little blip here and there financially. But overall, the things that we have today, we're so blessed with. Like literally, and I mean this, I've been around the world, I've seen it. Our poor in this country are wealthy in other countries. Like we say we have poor, like other countries would laugh at that. Because they're, to them, it's wealthy. In other words, here's what I'm saying. We don't really know how blessed we are in America. We really don't know just how blessed we are. But the reason that we're blessed is because we had some founding fathers that went after the Lord and went after his things. And, were they perfect? Well, are you perfect? No, I'm sure that they weren't perfect, but that doesn't mean that you can't go after God. Doesn't mean that you can't go after God today if you're not perfect. Praise God, right? But here's what happened. When we stepped into church and started pastoring in 2009, we started this church in our living room of our home, and praise the Lord, he's faithful. But when we started it, we walked in thinking that society would be like, man, we're going to preach the word. We're going to talk about the power of God and faith and all this great stuff. And everybody's going to be like, woo, this is good stuff. And people just come and by the hundreds and by the thousands, it'll be awesome, right? And people stayed away by the tens and hundreds and thousands. Like they just stayed away. And I thought, what is going on? What is happening? I don't understand this, because I remember church as a kid that was like, man, people, you opened the doors, people were there, right? But they're also distracted today. They have so much stuff taking their attention. And, there's a joke in church that basically says, well, it's too cold outside, so I don't feel like going to church today. Well, it's too hot outside, so I don't feel like going to church today. Well, it's too perfect outside, so I don't feel like going to church today. There's a joke. We've become so satisfied and so distracted by all the things of the world that, watch this, that people have stopped hungering for the things of God. They've stopped hungering for the things of God. And because they've stopped hungering for the things of God, we found that in a lot of church society in America, people are actually running away from what most people call the church by the droves today. And this week we were in the meetings over in Gleaning Mission, and Brother Ted Shelsworth Jr. was talking about it. He said, they are running away from certain churches, but they're not telling you what kind of churches they are. You're actually seeing a mass revival in the church that's alive. Yeah. But here's why I'm telling you this, is you're actually seeing the power of God move in a mighty, mighty way. He showed the picture of Bishop David Oyedepo's in Nigeria, third world country, and with third world money is building right now, I think it's 110 or 120,000 seat auditorium. He showed the covering, like they don't even have it with walls on the side, but at Pastor Adeboye's, also in Nigeria. Like, and I've met these men of God. These are legit, powerful men of God. I've been, literally the pictures that he showed, I've stepped there, I've been there. And they have a covering that literally goes 2 miles long. 2 miles long. It's hard for our brain to fathom how long it is. In other words, there's a revival happening. They have somewhere between 2 and 4 million people when they meet under that covering. 2 to 4 million people. The biggest gatherings of people are not in sports stadiums. They're in the church right now in the world. Like there's a revival happening. So people are running away from the church that's dead. Why? Because they don't offer anything. They don't offer anything. Today y'all are excited. I love it. Today you're excited. You're in expectation. But I see a lot of the world that they're uncomfortable with that because they've been taught a dead religious church instead of a live church in Christ. They've been taught the dead version, not the alive version. And what you're seeing in here today is an alive version where literally the life of God has come in. So Pastor Nicole and I, one of the things that we saw is this, is that, man, people would pray, nothing would happen. People pray, and honestly, people stop praying. People stop praying overall. I'm not saying everybody did, but overall, people stop praying. They stop fasting. They stopped expecting God to do anything because in the churches that they were going to, nothing was happening. There was no power. There was no power. There was no reality of the manifestation of the love of God. There was no reality of it. And so it's like, well, why do that if there's not going to be any change? Why do that? And I get it. I understand. And so we started going, you know what? How can we even open the doors if there's not a power of God to be released? Because his power is backed by his love. Like, why even have a church just to be a social club? Like, what point is that? Like, if I want a social club, there's plenty of those out there. Why put Jesus' name on it if all I want is a social club? Or do we actually want to get down to brass tacks and figure out what's going on and what we need, right? Do we actually want to move into what this Bible promises us? Now, so we made the decision, like, we don't even want to do church if we're not going to walk in a reality of the love of God being made manifest. We don't even want to do that. Is anybody, like, anybody with me that kind of thinks, like, I want the reality of God. I need a powerful God. I don't need just a service and something that has no reality to it. So this is... But when you do that, if you're going to get into the power of God and you're going to get into the love of God, it requires us to change. So it requires even church to look different. It can't look the same. Like if you want an old dead religion, which most people are leaving and going away from, if you want that dead religion, then why would you go and do the same thing everybody else is doing that people are now running away from? So there demands to be in this day and age somebody who will take the principles of God and will grow up in them and will learn about spiritual things. Learn how to see the power of God actually come down into your life. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says this, "Now concerning spirituals, I don't want you to be ignorant." This is the Holy Spirit saying, "Now concerning spiritual things, I don't want you to be ignorant." But if you went into 95, 98% of the churches in America and asked them to get the power of God and a promise of God to flow into their life, get somebody that's sick healed, right? 95, 98% would have no idea how to make that happen. Matter of fact, probably 90% of them would say, well, we don't have that promise. Well, that's not true. We do have that promise. We do have that promise. You know, we see it all the time. There was people healed just last week here. There was people healed during the week, right? It was Angie right back there. Will you raise your hand? Raise your hand. She just came. Her first time coming to this church was last Sunday. Now I'm calling her out in front of everybody. Aren't you glad I remembered your name? Well, she came. God healed her Sunday morning.
Yeah. Amen.
Then she came back Monday night because we had a special service. Yeah. And we were standing right back here at the back of the chairs. She said, you know, yesterday I got healed. She said, but I'm having trouble with this now. I said, well, God's going to heal you right now. When the service was over... Like, we weren't in the middle of service. Yeah. Service is over. We're standing right back there, about where Joe is, at the back of the chairs. I said, I'm going to pray for you. The power of God's going to hit your body and heal you. And when you walk, I'm going to tell you to walk. Don't go yet. But when I tell you to walk, I want you to walk like God just healed you. I want you to walk like normal. She said, okay. She took off walking. She took one step and went, woohoo! Like that. Why? Because the power of God hit her. Is that right? Yes, amen. And she's back the second week. She's not leaving church. She's coming to church. Because something real took place. Something real took place. Something real. Why? Because God is real. He's not a theory. He's not a pipe dream. He's real, and he loves you today. Now, but you have to understand that in order to get to that place, there's so many times that we had to put our flesh down, that we had to say, oh, that looks weird to me. I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I like all that shouting stuff. I don't know, man, he played the drums really hard. I walked in the door, I'm like, good Lord, who's on the drums? Zach. Yeah, I knew who was on the, I saw it. I looked on the monitor, I'm like, man, he is killing those drums. I was feeling it. I walked in the door, I was like, even if I didn't have any rhythm in me, it was like there was enough coming out of those drums to be like, it put rhythm in you. Sometimes people without rhythm need some of that. Help them out a little bit. I never claimed to have rhythm. Listen, here's a trick. When you're supposed to clap to the beat, I'm always off on that. Just double time. And you'll be on both of them, right? Just it's a trick. Just double time. Like, even if you were up there clapping, like, everybody clap with me. Like, I'll get off on that. Like, I'm bad. But if I'll do double time, then I can keep up. So then you look like you're more excited than other people that just clap on the main beat anyway. So it makes you look good. You don't lose the beat. But after a while, I feel like I still get off on that. So I'm just like, amen, glory to God. Raising holy hands, and just some tricks for non-rhythm people. Amen. You're welcome. But here's the thing, is you get into a church, and it doesn't, you start moving in spiritual things. Think about this. The Bible literally says that to this world and our understanding, his things will look foolish. Which means when we actually start moving in his things, we are going to look foolish to the world. It doesn't mean that we're foolish. It means that we'll look foolish to a natural mindset. A natural mindset. It'll look foolish, but it'll get the power of God. Would you rather be in a church that looks all holy and proper according to the world's thinking? It's not according to God's thinking. According to the world's thinking, and have no power and no help and no reality, or be in a church that challenges you, but yet when you pray, it works. Yeah. And there's healing, and there's miracles, and there's financial breakthrough in your life, right? For example, and then the Bible, in other words, you give yourself to those things. It will challenge your corrupted flesh. It will challenge how you think. I promise you, it will challenge you. It will challenge you. It will challenge you. And if anybody here thinks you've been challenged all the way yet, just keep getting closer to God, and you'll be challenged some more. And some more. And some more. And praise God for that. The Word says, Hebrews 12:11, all discipline. Or all correction, Hebrews 12:11, all discipline for the moment seems to not be joyful and even sorrowful. Yep. Not just some discipline, all discipline of the Lord to your corrupted flesh in context seems to not be joyful. That means when you actually get in a church that is doing really good stuff and they're challenging you, your flesh is going to go, I didn't like that. That's going to happen on a regular basis. Yep. It's going to happen on a regular basis. Yep. But a fake church will make you feel good all the time. Make your flesh feel good all the time. That's actually a fake church. But a real church will challenge your corrupted flesh all the time. Why? Because the more that you... What I've found is when people are uncomfortable and they're mad at me, it's because they're actually having something that God is working on. But they don't recognize it as the Lord moving through me. They just think it's me. Which I'm fine. That's kind of my job, is to take the heat for that. But how many of y'all have been here a little bit and you finally broke down and let your flesh be challenged, and when you did, it changed you and you grew? Now look around. That is a huge testimony. That's a huge testimony. How many people would say your position in life, you might not have it all figured out yet, but your position is better than it was before coming here? Now that right there is a testimony. But that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's going to challenge you. It's going to challenge you. The life of Christ, the walk of Christ, is going to challenge you. It's going to take you places your flesh doesn't want to go if you're obedient to God. It's going to. Now, the rest of that verse says, all discipline for the moment seems to not be joyful, but even sorrowful. But to those who give themselves to that discipline will eat the peaceful fruit of righteousness. How many people want peace? But that means we need to give ourselves to discipline, which means our flesh is going to be uncomfortable, not joyful, and even sorrowful. Now, I'm not talking about the real you, the spirit man. Your spirit will be thrilled, and that's really where your life is, but most people don't even know that. They don't even know the three parts. Man, I've been surprised by how many preachers don't know what the Bible says about your makeup and our makeup, right? And because they don't know that, they interpret Scripture from the wrong way, and they don't see it properly. Listen, the Word is our standard. It's a supernatural book. The prophecies that it's made are mathematically impossible except for a perfect, all-knowing creator to have written them. I mean, they are mathematically impossible. It is a supernatural book. And here's the thing, though. Why am I saying this? Because I'm encouraging you to, when your flesh is uncomfortable, don't run from that, but actually question it. Get curious about it, right? Get curious about that. Why is this way? What are these answers? Why do y'all do this? Why did everybody get up here and dance? Why did everybody shout? Why did they confess the way that they did? Or even if you see us do something that you don't understand in the church, why didn't Pastor do this? Like in every other church I go to, the pastor did this. Why doesn't Pastor mow the yard? Because I don't. But most pastors across America do. Matter of fact, I was looking at taking over a church one time, and they were like, well, and you'll have to mow the yard. I was like, no, I will not. No, I won't. I don't have to do that. I mean, I will do that. I have done that. I've cleaned toilets. I've done some stuff most people don't want to do in church. I mean, I cleaned up some toilets one time. Ooh. It was gross. Somebody had not cleaned those toilets for a long time. A long time. It took, literally, I'll put it this way. It took me weeks to get them clean. Weeks of cleaning to get them clean. Why? Because I wanted God's house to be presentable. And they weren't. And they needed to be. Nobody else was doing it, so I took it on myself. My point is this, why do we do that stuff? So a lot of people, they're actually in a little bit of pride because they assume things, but they're not hungry enough to ask questions. But when they get hungry enough, God makes them this promise. If you will hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled.
Yes.
You shall be filled. It's a promise from God. If you'll hunger, you shall be filled.
Yeah.
But this society has not produced people that are hungry. They produce people that think they're in a bad state, but they're actually in a very blessed state, and they're not hungry for God. You can tell that they're not blessed. You can tell that they're not blessed, or you can tell that they're not hungry because of their responses. I remember when COVID was happening, and we had not had, nobody had gone to church basically for 6 weeks. We still had service. We moved services out in the parking lot. We never missed a service. Amen. And it was great. We had a great time. Amen. Our church grew through that. Yep. And our church grew through that. Our finances grew through that. The people's finances grew through COVID. Like, I had a lot of pastors. This is the reality I'm talking about. I had a lot of pastors like, man, we never recovered from COVID. I'm like, I'm sorry about that. But that was not our testimony. Yeah. That's not the testimony that we had. Amen. We actually took off during COVID. Yeah. That actually set a standard for us that took us to a different level. And the reason is because we stopped and we listened to God, but we had already set some precedences of not catering to the flesh, but catering to the Spirit of God that set us up for that. So then I watch this. So here comes Easter. Now what is Easter to the Christian? Isn't Easter a celebration of the resurrection of Christ?
Yes.
Why are you going to go into eternity? Why are you going to be eternally blessed if you're born again? Is it not because of the price that Jesus paid? But without his resurrection, you have no resurrection, is what the word says.
Yeah.
So literally, his resurrection is our celebration day. It's like the day that we won the eternal Super Bowl. Like, that's literally what it is. And so it's kind of like the day that Christians should celebrate, right? So here's the thing. Most believers had not gone to church. They had been watching online. I don't know another major church in the county that was open. And then on Easter, we actually put it out. We'll be open for Easter. And we had services on Easter. Everybody else, nobody else was having church. We were the only major church having services. And we were prepared to have a lot of cars, right? We were prepared to have a lot of cars come in because, you know, people want to go to church, right? After 6 weeks, I mean, people were complaining like, I got to see my people. I got to go do something. I got to be around. I mean, people were complaining and everything. We had, in the whole county, we had two visitors that day. Two cars. I went, we in trouble as a society. And part of our job as a church is to change that mentality. But that means you're going to do stuff that's uncomfortable to you. That means it's like we've got to get... We've got to change society from being satisfied when they're not actually satisfied.
Yeah.
If they were satisfied, they wouldn't have the problems that they're having.
Yeah.
You see, if they were actually satisfied, they wouldn't have the prayer requests that they have.
Right.
But they're not satisfied. They're satisfied in the flesh, but not willing to put the flesh on the flames.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, they're satisfied to a degree, but they really need the power of God.
Yeah.
But they're not willing to come and ask and receive and yield to it. And so our whole society's mindset is like, I don't need church. And all the churches, that 90 to 95% of churches that I talked about, they're all telling the world that there's no answers here.
Yeah.
Versus this is a church that actually answers are happening. So we're like, it's kind of fighting an uphill battle because you're trying to change the mind of society, but when they walk in, they think you're weird. But yet what they need is weird and foolish to the world so they can have the answers, but they don't have a reference point. But see, if they were hungry or they were humble, they would break through that. And so our job as believers is to put on the humility of God and put on the hunger of God and stop being satisfied. And part of the reason is because we're not hungry for the things of God because we don't know exactly what God has made available to us. We don't realize that we can have heaven on earth. And watch this, because this is one of those things that I want you to see. And this is the story I was telling you about. This came up to me this week. And the issue is we don't know what's out there. Let me give you a story before that one, because I want to prove something. So this week, Brother Teddy told a story about John G. Lake. And if you don't know the story about John G. Lake, he was dealing with the bubonic plague. And he landed in the place where he was going to in Africa, and the bubonic plague was rampant. And anybody who, the problem with the plague was, even after they died, their bodies would produce a foam out of their mouth. And if you touched that foam, you would basically die. And so they were paying. Now think about this. He said this, and I thought this was a great analogy. He said, you know, in the 40s, you could buy a house for $700 in the 40s. This was at 1900, so 40 years before that. They were paying people $1,000 to bury the dead. So imagine how much money that's. They are giving you more than a house, at the very least, to bury the dead. No takers, no takers. But it's what Pastor Nicole was saying earlier about how you actually, when you're a Christian, you see other things, you see different things. Well, John G. Lake said, "Oh, there's money to be made," but he had a promise that other people didn't know about. The law of the spirit of life in Christ. Yeah. Look at this in your Bible real quick, in Romans 8. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to teach what I was going to give you, which is very meaty, on the law of the spirit of life in Christ. This, I'm in my message now, but I'm not going to teach everything I was going to today, but I will teach it tomorrow on the broadcast. I'll teach it. But look at Romans chapter 8. And I want you to look at verse 2. Romans 8 and verse 2. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit is saying right here, this is a law. Now, see, we'll live by science laws, right? We will apply physical laws to our life. You live by physical laws right now. You're sitting on a chair because you're basically defeating gravity sitting up, because a chair exacted a force upon you that was bigger than the force of gravity pulling down. We live by these physical laws. Planes fly by laws, right? This is the Holy Spirit saying there's two laws here that are in the earth, at least these two that he's talking about right now. And it's the law of the spirit of life in Christ and the law of death. All right, law of sin and of death. He says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Now, we're not saying it's going to set you free. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. Not going to set you free. It has set you free. It has set you free. Now, go down to verse 11. Romans 8, verse 11. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now, if you're born again and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, he's dwelling and overflowing in you. Yeah. He says, but if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. Mm-hmm. Do I have any Spirit-filled believers in here? Yeah. Amen. How many people that you like, I want to walk more in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. I need the Holy Spirit's operation in my life. He says, if he dwells in you, and hear this, everybody that's hearing this can have the Holy Spirit and can walk in this. He says, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead. So what's he talking about? He's literally showing that Jesus was physically dead, but the Spirit of God actually raised him up. The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit resurrected him. Now look here, it says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body, to this body of death. He'll give life to it. He'll give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So what he... Stand up here, scholar. So what he literally says, he says, if you will have the Holy Ghost, right, in you, amen? If you will receive the Holy Ghost in you, the Holy Ghost will dwell in you. And when he dwells in you, through that Spirit, literally says it in verse 11, through the Holy Spirit, he will bring life into your whole body. Amen. This is, thank you, this is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life. Go back to verse 2 and let's read it again now with that in mind. This is the law of the Spirit of life. And verse 2, now, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. I'm not in bondage to death anymore. I'm not in bondage to sin anymore. No, and I can walk free of sin, not because I could do it in myself, but I can walk free of sin because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help me walk free of sin and break the bondage of sin and the bondage of death and lack in my body. That's where the power to heal comes from. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. There is a spiritual law that's released in believers. Now, that doesn't mean that all believers will utilize that law. That doesn't mean that. That's what happened to me when I was fasting and I was super, super weak. And we started praying and my leadership team praying. And I woke up the next day, more energy than I'd ever had. It was totally supernatural. What we actually grabbed a hold of, now the day before I was tired. But when I applied faith on what was already in me, I reached in and grabbed the grace of God that I had available. And all of a sudden I had supernatural strength. What had I grabbed a hold of? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Yeah. It was in me the whole time. I just hadn't been pulling on it by faith. Yeah. I hadn't, hear that. I hadn't been pulling on it by faith. Yeah. Jesus said this many times when he ministered. He said, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that I can do this? Because it doesn't really matter if God says it, if you don't believe it. Right. It's not going to work. You got to actually at some point say, I choose to believe that in spite of what I feel about that. Yeah. Most of the time I found when I actually need to believe something, it's the least I feel like believing. Yeah. I don't feel like believing in my flesh. But see, I'm not in bondage to my flesh. I have the law of the Spirit of life that I can supersede my feelings and supersede that and decide, Lord, I'm going to believe you at your word. And many times Jesus say, do you believe me? Do you believe me? Do you believe me? Right? And this actually needs to happen, even with preachers today. Paul shows this in one of the Gospels, in one of the books of the New Testament. He actually says that when I went and preached to these people, he said, they didn't hear just the words of man. They heard the words of God through what I was saying. I was bringing the anointing and I was bringing the words of God. And yes, it came through a fleshly man, but a fleshly man that's carrying the anointing of God. And so they needed to believe that what this fleshly man was saying was the words of God. And when they put faith on those words of God, that God was saying through a vessel, through a man, they could believe and receive it. And the Holy Spirit actually had him say, you didn't believe that it was just words man, but you believed what it really was, the Word of God. Now to the story that I was going to tell you. I was sitting in, I've been wondering for days, like, why are you bringing this story up to me? I think you're going to get it this morning. And I couldn't see where it fit until you were ministering earlier, Pastor John. I was sitting there, I was like, oh, okay, right. Now I see it. Now watch this. I was sitting in a meeting in a conference, and there were teachers teaching. It was a serious conference, 5 meetings a day, from 9 to noon, from 2 to 5, and from 7 to about 10 every night for a whole week. And I'm sitting there, and somehow I was sat near this one gentleman. And I'd seen him like the year before at the same conference. But this one guy, and he was from Africa, and he was sitting there. Now I want you to hear this. Pay attention to this story. He's sitting there, and every time they would say a scripture on there, it started by this. This is what got my attention, was they would quote a scripture and start reading it. He would quote it while they were saying it without looking at his Bible. And it, I mean, literally over the week, hundreds of times. I mean, like every scripture. I mean, it got to the point where they'd call out a scripture, and I'd like look at the guy and be like, well, what's it going to say? You know, like I'm like, who is this guy? You know, who is this guy? I mean, it was impressive. And they would not even start reading it. They just quote many times. They'd just quote the Bible or the book and the verse, the chapter and verse. He'd start quoting it, and then they'd read it. It'd be like word for word. Hundreds of scriptures. And I'm sitting close enough that I could hear him. I mean, he wasn't doing it loud, but it was loud enough where I could hear it. I'm like, dang, that's pretty good. Like whoever you are, that's impressive. You know? And I'd seen him a year before, and I heard him doing it the year before. So this second year I really paid attention to him. I was like, man, he could quote scripture. He knows scripture, which is awesome. You need to know scripture. I mean, agree, you need to know scripture. And watch this. The Bible says this: my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let me go a step further, because another scripture says my people are in bondage because of lack of understanding. So that goes beyond knowledge. They may have knowledge, but not know how to apply it. So you may be destroyed for lack of knowledge, but you can still be in bondage and in captivity because you don't know how to apply it. It's a big difference. So a lot of people don't know the word. And if they don't know the word, they don't know that supernatural word from God, and they haven't given themselves to be disciplined by that word, they can be in bondage. And truthfully, even in this body, there's people that are in bondage because they know the word, but they're not applying it. And there's other people that are in bondage because they don't know the word, right? We need to know the word. That's why when we do our daily broadcast on Lunch Plus, I was thinking about this, is we used to, when we first started the church, we had a Wednesday night service, a midweek service. And the people that came to that midweek service, that's really where I would do the teaching, and really they would grow in depth. We had the majority of our testimonies were in that Wednesday night service. And then the Lord started talking to us about stopping that and doing life groups. It took him 2 years to talk me into it. I was like, I don't want to give up the one thing that feels like it's working. This is where all of our testimonies are, right? But we knew God was saying to do that. As soon as we started life groups, we saw an activation in the people that we've been praying for years that we just couldn't get to happen. We saw a family grow like it had never been before. We saw the power of God moving through people. And but then, after we did that, after a couple years, the Lord led us to do the daily broadcast. And what I found now is the people that are on that daily broadcast, they're the ones having testimonies. And now watch this. Not only do we have life groups and we've empowered and activated the people and brought them to family, but now we have 5 times as many teachings in the middle of the week as what we used to do. Yeah. And people can listen to it whenever they need to, right? Yeah. So the Lord literally gave us more and better because we learned how to listen to him, right? So there's a way you need to be listening to Lunch Plus. You need to be digesting it. You know, take during the, you know, your getting ready time, put it on in the morning. When you're driving to work, put it on in the morning. Feed yourself on the word. Plus, it keeps you right in tune with the body that you're planted with. And it helps. So many times, we hear it time and time and time and time and time again. I needed that word today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll go into a depth that we don't have time to do on Sunday morning. And so anyway, we need not only knowledge, but we need understanding. And we get that through the anointed word. Now, so here's this guy, and he's quoting scripture. Man, my heart, one thing I've learned on the foreign mission field is when I feel the compassion of God, the power flows. And I felt compassion towards this guy. I felt compassion, and the Lord spoke to me to say something to him. And here's what he told me to say. He said, go up to him after this service and ask him, what can I do for you? Well, that's a big statement. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? And so the guy was like, oh, wow, oh my goodness, you know. And I was dressed nice and everything, and I looked the part, you know. I said, what can I do for you? I don't know about you, but I've had the Lord a few times ask me, what do you want? When the Lord asks you that question, ask big.
Yes.
Ask big. You're not talking to somebody who has limits.
Yeah.
Ask big, right? And so I go up, that's basically what the Lord was having me to ask this guy, and he was going to flow it through me. And the guy went, okay. I said, listen, pray about it. When we come back later on today, I said, let me know what that is. What can I do for you? I mean, it's a big question. I was a little concerned myself. I was like, you're going to have to show up, Lord. Like, this is faith on my part. Like, you're going to have to show up here, you know? And the guy came back. And I think, if I remember correctly, he said, I know what I need. He said, I need my ticket home to be purchased. And I said, well, how much is that? He said, $2,500 or something like that. Oh, I had about $1.205 in my pocket. So I was like, I was like, that's great. I was like, amen. Now, right here, I'm supposed to be the man of faith, right? And I'm not supposed to go, oh, God. Oh, no. That's more than I have. You know, I don't know what we're going to do about that. But I wasn't that way. See, the Lord had told me to ask this question. I actually had the gift of faith working in me. And if you understand the gift of faith working in you, empowered by the compassion, the love of God, it will accomplish anything. It will reach out and grab a hold of it and bring that promise of God into this world and make it work. I could feel it on me. It was cool. Like, I was like, man, when we pray, this is going to happen. But here's what I told him. I said, I don't have that to give you. It's very similar to in Acts where he said, I don't have silver and gold right now, but what I do have, well, that guy believed what they were saying. That guy in Acts believed what they were saying, believed Peter and John, reached up, took their hand, and after 40 years of being lame, he walked. He chose to believe that God was speaking through this man, through those men. Well, this guy that I met, that quoted all these scriptures, that knew all of these scriptures. I mean, he had them down pat. He had them memorized. This man's been in the Bible. I looked at his Bible. It looked like a ratty, tattered mess because he had read so much scripture. But when I told him, I don't have that personally. Now, I'm telling him, but it doesn't matter. I don't have it personally, but it doesn't matter. I've got what you need right here because God told me to ask the question. I have the gift of faith. But when I told him I didn't have it, I watched his whole countenance and face sink. He actually got so much as got a little bit accusatory. Like, I thought you told me you were going to give it to me. Like, that kind of way. This guy who could quote all these scriptures. There's a difference between knowledge and understanding. And had he actually understood what was that? And we prayed, but I truly believe he didn't get it. But it wasn't because it wasn't there for him to have it. It's because in that moment, he put his faith on man and not on God. And what he should have trusted was that God was leading the man. Right? And I've got a word for you. And so here's what I want to tell you about. So I never did finish John G. Lake, did I? Yeah. So John G. Lake, listen to this. John G. Lake went, and they're like, if you go bury these people, if you go bury these people, you're going to die. And he said, no, I won't. He said, how are you saying you won't die? He said, because of the law of the spirit of life in Christ. He said, I have a law operating in my body that kills death. That is the end of death. That has broken the bondage of sin and death. The law of sin and death has no power over the law of the spirit of life that's in me. And they didn't believe him, and they were still, everybody was afraid. And literally he said, go get some of the foam off of that dead body, and I want you to look at it. Some doctors came with microscopes. He said, I want you to look at that foam, put it on the slide, and you can see that bubonic plague live and active. He said, now take that foam, put it in my hand.
Yeah.
Now, under worldly physical terms and not spiritual, John G. Lake would be a dead man. But under the law of the spirit of life in Christ, with faith in that law, with faith that what was in him and the word of God was true, with faith, they took that out of his hand, put it back under the microscope, and all the plague was dead. So he went out there and made a bunch of money. Because of the law of the spirit of life in Christ. He knew something other people didn't. Now, other people could say, ooh, I see that, I get that, and logically understand it, but not put faith in it, they would have died. They would have died. You go try to be somebody without their revelation, that's dangerous ground. They would have died because they didn't have faith in that law. He had faith in that law. He believed that what the word of God said is available to him. See, this guy that I was talking about, he didn't believe that what I was telling him was true. But he didn't know I had the spirit of faith and the compassion of the Lord backing that. And when we prayed, it would have released a supernatural overflow into his life to get him the ticket back home. And it would have probably happened really quick. But he, instead of putting his eyes on God in me, he put his eyes on me. You see, and his faith was not based on the word. His faith was based on what he saw with his eyes. See how these are lining up? He was looking at what he could see.
Yeah.
Jesus said this in John 16. He said, I'm going away. He said, but it's to your advantage, to your benefit that I go away. Because when I go away, I'm going to send the helper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And if you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, he will help empower you to kick out everything that is unholy. And your lack doesn't come from holiness. It comes from unholiness. It comes from the curse. And so I'm not just talking about financial lack. I'm talking about health lack. I'm talking about peace lack. I'm talking about any lack in your life can be undone by the power of the spirit of life in Christ that is received by the Holy Spirit. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, it will be to your advantage. He said, and I will send him to you. I will send you the Holy Spirit, and he will bring the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And if you'll yield to Him, you'll be filled with Him. You'll be overflowing with life, which would be a completion of John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I am come that they might have and enjoy life to the full till it overflows.
Yeah.
This is what the Holy Spirit's baptism brings. And Pentecost Sunday, today being Pentecost Sunday, is the feast and the celebration of the harvest. The celebration of the harvest. Not of what you paid.
No.
Not of your works. But what Jesus paid. It's not the harvest of our good works. It's the harvest of every perfect work of Jesus. And it's the harvest that God poured out in Acts chapter 2. And all of a sudden, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, right before He went up to heaven, He said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will receive power and power to be My witnesses. In Acts chapter 2, they're worshiping God. They're praising Him. The harvest comes on Pentecost. The harvest is the day of Pentecost. Literally the day that they start celebrating the harvest of Passover, which happened to be, this was a special one, because that's the one that Jesus, the Lamb of God, shed His blood. He was the Passover lamb for every person. Every person that's here in this, every person that ever was. He was the blood on the door that caused death to pass over, that we might receive a harvest of the Holy Ghost, of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And right now, in spite of your works, but because of Jesus' works, you have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ that's available to you. If you're born again, that Holy Spirit's in you and wants you to be filled with that law. But here's the thing, just like that guy, you got to believe that what I'm telling to you is actually in that word, and this is God talking to you this morning. You got to believe that what I'm telling you is God talking to you this morning. This morning, you can walk out of here full of the Holy Ghost and the fire of God. Full of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ that beat the bubonic plague. And Deuteronomy 28:61 teaches us that it not only beat the bubonic plague, but it beat every other named plague and disease, and even the ones that don't have a name. That everyone, named or unnamed, is under the curse, and Jesus redeemed us from the curse when the power of the Holy Spirit raised Him from the dead. He redeemed us like we never had lack. We never had the curse. And see, what you see is you see people grabbing a hold of that with their spirit. It makes them stand up. Like, Lord, I believe that. I have that. I don't have to live like I have lived. I don't have to be low like I've been low. I don't have to listen when the world pronounces death, because I'm free from the law of sin and death. I have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. This is a reality. This is a reality in God. Not just a theory. In school today, they're teaching a lot of theories. This is a reality. And that's what John G. Lake knew. That's why when we went to the Philippines and the deaf heard, the lame walked, the mute spoke, the blind saw. Did it happen? Did it happen? Why? And that's why last week, Angie gets healed on Sunday, gets healed on Monday. That's why the week before there was another healing. That's why the week before there was more power of God. It's over and over and over. Why? Because there's a spiritual law that actually trumps all of the physical laws. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And that law of the Spirit of life in Christ comes through its own definition. The Spirit. The Holy Spirit. That law comes through the Holy Spirit. And today, I want you to know that you can have that law operating inside of you, and you never have to have it diminished ever again. You can walk full of it. You can walk in the power of it. You don't have to have it be lesser again. You can have hope for the future. You can have hope in Him that you never had before. You can have the hope of God. In other words, you can have a joy. You can walk in life with confidence. You don't have to be beat up anymore. You don't have to be depressed anymore. But it's your choice. You can be like the guy who thinks he knows everything and quotes all the scriptures but doesn't know how it works. Or you can be like the guy that knows how it works. You might not know all the scriptures. I've watched more power of God flow through brand new believers than the ones who think they know everything. Be the child with God. Be the hungry. Be the humble. And watch what God will do. Watch what He'll do in your life. Will you choose today? Will you choose today to believe the Lord's word to you? That you don't have to walk this way anymore. Jesus, you got a plan for my life. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans for you to fare well, to give you a future and a hope, and not for your calamity. Hear me when I say this. Jesus has no plans for your calamity. Jesus has no plans for your tragedy. If tragedy starts coming to your mind, understand it's a devil or the function of the devil that's bringing it to your head. It's not from God. There is no tragedy or calamity planned with God for you. And you might not know what to do. You might not know where to go or how to be. But God knows. And He'll help you. He'll help you. You might not know how to handle it. But God knows. And He'll help you. How? Through the Holy Spirit. In the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. How many people you would like to have a fresh revealing of that law in you today? Lord, I need that law to come up strong in me. I need your help. Just close your eyes right now. Be seated. Be seated. Right now, Lord, close your eyes. Lord, I need your help today. Where I've been, I need to go to a higher place. You might have been at a great place, but when you're hearing this message, the Holy Spirit reveals to you there's a higher place. There's a higher place. There's a higher place. How many people would say, put your hands down for just a second? How many people you would raise your hand and you would recognize, after hearing that word today, I believe that there's a higher level that I could go to. Lift your hand. Well, I think I could go to a higher level. If you believe that, raise your hand. I think I could live at a better place, that I have not fulfilled my creation in God. But God wants to take me higher. Just lift your hand, keep it up so I can see it. That should be everybody in here, because nobody in here looks like God. Amen. Glory to God. Do you know that that place in God, God's saying to you today, it's available today. The Lord's saying to you, I can start you on a journey. And you can start leveling up. And you never have to stop. But today, increase. Tomorrow, increase. The next day, increase. The next week, increase. The next month, increase in God. The next year, increase in God. I know the Lord is speaking directly to hearts right now. I mean, He's touching your heart. I can feel it. I can sense it. I feel the compassion of the Lord. Just like I did that day on that guy. I feel it. Just like in the Philippines, when the child who wasn't talking and wasn't eating and wasn't walking, I felt the compassion of the Lord. Picked him up, started praying over him by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who gives us the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And the next day we got the message. The boy is talking and eating. The boy is talking and eating. With God, there's no respecter of persons. There's no respecter of persons. Thank you, Father.